You and I have will do these interviews on the last day of session, and there's usually some large, overwhelming issue that has to be approved by the midnight deadline, or else there's a special session, or it gets put off, there's a last-minute deal. Last year it was the budget, possibly gambling. A couple of years ago it was aid to the racetracks. A few years before that it was real ID. This is very different this year. What's your assessment of, overall assessment of this session?
I believe that the legislature has dealt with a lot of very difficult issues, but has managed to do it in a very orderly way. Some of these issues, whether it was the transportation funding or the repeal of the death penalty or the gun safety legislation, difficult issues, but the legislature was able to take care of business, address those issues, and so this is one of the more orderly final days of session that I have ever witnessed, and that's a tribute to the men and women of the General Assembly and the goodness of the people they represent.
Let's talk about what's left on the calendar. Is there anything that you of outstanding bills on your agenda, anybody else's agenda, that might indicate there would have to be a special session, that lawmakers would have to come back before next January?
I don't anticipate any of those issues. Certainly, we had our fill of special sessions last year. I think over a 13-month period of time, I think we had, one regular session and three special sessions. So let me take a pithier, clippable run at that. I don't anticipate any issue that will cause us to have a special session. We still have a couple of bills that need concurrences in the House. One is the Veterans Bill,
removing barriers
to veterans' employment and the employment of their spouses.
The Public-Private Partnership Bill, I think, is still...
Right. The other one is the Public-Private Partnership. We just saw... passed within the last few moments the expansion of voting in Maryland, so that making it easier rather than harder for people to cast their vote. And so there'll be an expansion of early voting locations and the ease with which people can cast their vote. So that was a very positive move and different from what some of our neighbors in other states are doing.
Now, in terms of, let's talk about the gun bill. I have heard since it passed and even during the debate that this would be challenged in court. This might also go to referendum next year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would expect that both of those things would happen. And our legislation is common sense legislation. The licensing provisions are supported by majorities of Marylanders, self-described as Democrats, self-described as Republicans. I've rarely seen an issue of such controversy in the legislature where the public was as far ahead of their leaders as on this issue.
Well, then how do you explain the members of the public? There were 1,300 people who showed up at the House hearing, which lasted until 4 a.m. on a Saturday. Most of them were opposed to it. There were rallies. You know, there was one when the Senate held their hearing. They had to close the building down because there were too many people there to try to testify against it. How do you explain that?
Well, the opponents are very well organized, and the opponents were certainly here, as is their right. And I'm glad that we're a state that can have large numbers of people come and express their opinion. If they didn't come down, you know, I think that would be a worse problem for our democracy. So we also had a lot of people come down on the rally to support the passage of the gun safety legislation. And while not as organized as the opponents, perhaps, they were no less committed. And I think once you have this issue, I mean, assuming this issue goes to the ballot, I believe that the people of our state will come to the conclusion, as their legislature did, that military-style assault weapons don't have a place in our schools or our neighborhoods, that the only place for military-style assault weapons is on the battlefield.
In terms of the death penalty repeal, do you expect that to go onto the ballot?
It might. It could. So I don't know. And again, on that one, I believe that the people of our state want their government to do the things that work and are effective in reducing violent crime. And when you have something that costs as much money, is as wasteful and as ineffective as the death penalty is. I believe that people believe we should stop doing the things that are wasteful and inefficient and do more of the things that actually work to save lives. So I believe in the fullness of their consideration that people would agree with their legislature that the death penalty is wasteful, inefficient, and doesn't work.
There are 5 people on death row currently who this law would technically, they would still face a death sentence. What happens to them?
Well, I'll consider those cases as they come to my desk. There's a number of manners in which those cases could come to my consideration or a subsequent governor, and we'll handle them on a case-by-case basis.
They haven't come to your desk yet? You haven't?
No, they haven't, and that's probably because our law has been in such a state of flux, given the fact that the Court of Appeals struck down Maryland's death penalty before I even walked in the door, and also given the inability to get the AELR committee to approve new regs, I think also one of the 3 drugs that are required by our former law
not being manufactured anymore.
Right, it's no longer manufactured, so. All of those have kind of put the law in a bit of flux until recently. But yes, there are ways that those cases could reach my desk, and I'll decide them on a case-by-case basis when that happens.
Other states that have abolished the death penalty the governors have, most notably Illinois a few years ago. They commuted all the death sentences. Governor Ryan did that before leaving office. Is that something you'd consider doing, just taking the action on your own?
No, I intend to decide these cases on a case-by-case basis, and I'm aware of what's happened in other states, but I'll decide these on a case-by-case basis, and move forward and accordingly. The most important thing that we need to do is to continue to drive down violent crime in our state, driven it down to a 30-year low, and we can't be satisfied with those strides because we're still one of the top 10 more violent states in America. So we need to keep doing the things that work. I think increasingly, Rob, as the people of our state see that we can actually deliver the result of lower crime, I think more and more people will conclude that the death penalty is a wasteful vestige of the past that actually distracts us from doing the things that work.